I'm speaking now with Sam Small, who is a part of the organization SHAKA, Sustainable Hawaiian Agriculture for the Kiki and the Aina. What happened in Kauai County with the passage of a measure that restricts GMOs and pesticides?
Well, the court seems to have ruled against Kauai's attempt, the county's attempt to have any say in terms of regulating pesticides and GMOs there. And how it affects us here on Maui, their measure is a little bit different than ours. Theirs was primarily targeted towards pesticides. Ours is primarily targeted towards GMOs. The courts have said that because the federal government and the state government have an infrastructure of regulations in place regarding pesticides and GMOs, that it's not appropriate for the county to get involved. The problem with that is that there is an infrastructure about pesticides. The state has regulations, and it does actively regulate and monitor a level of pesticide use. We think that that they don't perform very well based on results. They're understaffed, they're underfunded, and pesticides are essentially under-regulated. But there are no regulations regarding GMOs, other than issuing some permits for experiments on GMOs and tracking particular experimental operations on GMOs, there are no regulations regarding the cultivation of genetically modified crops in Hawaii. And if you don't have any regulations, how can the court say that the state is regulating? It doesn't make any sense.
So in the ruling, Judge Barry Curran ruled that the court's ruling simply recognizes that the state of Hawaii has established a comprehensive framework for addressing the application of restricted-use pesticides and the planting of GMO crops. Are you saying that's incorrect, that the judge is wrong in his assessment of state law?
That's my belief in terms of the GMO crops. In terms of pesticides, he's not incorrect. In terms of pesticides, there is a framework. But there is no adequate regulatory framework when it comes to GMOs. It hasn't been an issue, so nobody's been pressured to write any regulations. The agrochemical companies have had free rein to do whatever they want because nobody really knew what they were doing. Now that we know what they're doing and we understand that there's a social a health impact to what they're doing, as well as an environmental impact to what they're doing, we're putting pressure on them. Here in Maui County, we've asked for a reasonable moratorium. We want them, because there is inadequate regulatory regulations on the GMOs and even on the pesticides. We feel that the regulatory structure on the pesticides is not sufficient and that it's not appropriately monitored. The agrochemical companies wrote the rules for the FDA and the EPA. So they built loopholes in the system. There are glaring holes in the regulatory system. And as such, they basically can do whatever they want and not have to report it and not be held accountable. And because these, the GMOs are reliant upon pesticides, one of which in Roundup, the glyphosate, is actually an antibiotic. It was originally patented as an antibiotic. And just as any antibiotic, eventually the target organisms begin to develop a tolerance. And so you have to use more. And so instead of what they, in the beginning, GMOs resulted in less pesticide use. Yes, they did. in, you know, 20 years into it now, we're finding superbugs and superweeds that are, you know, that are developing a tolerance to their pesticides. And here in the fragile environment of Hawaii, with a very, very delicate infrastructure of the biological elements, we're not going to be able to fight off superbugs and superweeds without extraordinary levels of pesticide use. And so the whole operation is severely misplaced here in Hawaii. It doesn't belong here. It's not an appropriate use of the natural resources of these islands. It's a threat, an imminent threat to the ecology, the delicate ecology of these islands.
So is the main concern that you and the other folks in Maui and in Kauai have that the use of GMO crops will increase the use of pesticides, or are there other concerns as well?
Well, for me personally, and really I can only speak for Maui, that's where I live and that's where I'm engaged. We've our concerns certainly are for the pesticides. You know, the jury's out, I guess, you know, on GMOs and whether the genetic, you know, they've lumped all of the GMOs together, you know, and that's not appropriate. And the Academy of National Academy of Science says that you have to approach every modification on a case-by-case basis. And they've just lumped them all together, saying that there's a, you know, they make believe that there's this scientific consensus that all GMOs are safe. Well, that's, you know, that's just not true. There's reports from all around the world, studies from all around the world that are valid studies that are published in peer-reviewed journals that show that they are not necessarily safe, and all of the studies call for additional research to be done. And the companies, you know, they manufactured this notion of substantial equivalence to say that a GMO version of a crop is substantially the same as the original version of the crop. That's a concept that it's a marketing concept that they brought into play. It came out of the world of medical devices, where one medical device was substantially equivalent to another medical device, and therefore it didn't need to go through a whole new testing. Well, somehow they perverted that and applied it to genetic organisms. And it's just not true. They've built an entire a very successful and powerful industry around this whole concept. And places like Hawaii have been, you know, taken over. The agricultural environment of these islands have been taken over by the agrochemical companies. They're chemical companies. They're not involved in farming, though they pretend and they want the protection of farmers. But what they're doing is not farming. They're manufacturing a standardized seed product that they then distribute around the world. 80% of the BT poison corn seed is grown in Maui County, and it's distributed all around the world. It's a standardized commercial seed product for which they don't want any variances. They want that product to be uniform. And so to get a uniform product, they eliminate all the stress factors on their corn. To do that, they have to kill all the bugs, all the bacteria, all the fungus, all the mildew. And so they spray the fields with up to 80 different chemicals through the course of their growing cycle. You know, that stuff leaches out of the fields. We get heavy rains at times, and so the runoff runs into our community. The pesticide spray, when they spray it, The spray drifts into the communities, and we have also issues with dust, and they even received a small punitive fine because they weren't controlling what's called fugitive dust. The soil, when it's dry, containing, you know, the pesticide residues, blows out of the fields and into the community and into the reefs.
And you're talking about companies like the ones that filed the lawsuit against Kauai County that is known as Syngenta Seeds et al. Versus Kauai includes Syngenta, Pioneer Hybrid International Agrigenetics. These companies have hundreds of lawyers and hundreds of millions of dollars to put into these lawsuits. Do the counties and places like Vermont that's also being sued by some of these big agrochemical companies and know what they were getting into when they took on these agrochemical giants?
Well, sure. I mean, and we know what we're getting into here on Maui County, but what choice do we have? You know, this is, our lives are at stake. You know, the incidence, it's anecdotal, but the incidence of rare cancers is you know, I'm losing friends, you know, every month. I mean, I have one friend that, you know, in just 1 month's time, diagnosed with lung cancer, and poof, she was gone. People are developing odd allergies, there are rashes, there's all kinds of, there's birth defects, you know, more than ever before. And, you know, you can't draw a direct causation. We don't have the resources to draw a direct causation, but there certainly seems to be enough of a correlation to raise reasonable concerns. And because their reporting structure doesn't require them to tell anybody what combinations of pesticides they're spraying, then we feel that we're in a vulnerable position. And here on Maui County, the citizens stepped up to the plate. Five citizens took it upon themselves to work up a law. They wrote a law. And circulated a petition, and lo and behold, 19,000 signatures was the response. There's only 85,000 registered voters in Maui County, and 19,000 of them signed this petition. Now, the county went through, and they threw out almost 10,000 of those signatures, but we still had 9,000 valid signatures, which was enough for the first time ever to put a publicly raised ballot initiative in place for the November election. It's the first time it's ever happened in Maui County. It's the first time any group has obtained enough signatures to get on the ballot. And we were able to do that here in Maui County because of the overwhelming concern of the amount of pesticides that these companies are spraying here.
And that ordinance will not ban pesticides or GMOs. It's calling for regulation.
What our specific initiative calls for is a temporary moratorium until an environmental and public health impact study is performed on the specific practices as they are conducted in the fields of Maui County. When the agrochemical companies submit their documentation to the Environmental Protection Agency to get approval for any particular pesticide, they test that particular pesticide agent, that active agent, exclusively alone by itself in the laboratory. And they conduct, you know, absorption tests through skin tissue, and they try and determine, you know, how much, you know, can be absorbed safely. And the EPA has, you know, numbers. They've got charts of what's acceptable collateral damage. How much harm can the public withstand and still be able to keep a particular pesticide product on the market? That's how the EPA is structured towards the benefit of the chemical companies to be able to help them maintain staying in business. They are no longer acting in the public's best interest by being proactive or protective. And they don't, when they receive the studies from the companies, recently, for instance, the level of glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, it used to have a certain level of exposure that was acceptable in the population. Well, the company went to the EPA and said, we need to raise the bar on this. And we believe that it's safe to have radically more exposure to glyphosate than what was previously on the books. And the EPA said, well, if you say so, I guess it's okay. And that was the extent of it. And they raised the bar on how much glyphosate is allowable to be in the environment. And we're finding out that glyphosate was not supposed to be absorbed and retained in the body. It was supposedly that you would just be able to piss it out. But it turns out that they're finding the stuff in mother's breast milk. So it is being retained in the body. And the claims, once again, of these agrochemical companies, and let me just emphasize chemical companies, once again, their claims are in the long run turning out to be false. These are the same companies that brought the world PCBs, DDT, Agent Orange, all of which later turned out to be extraordinarily harmful to the environment and to people, and some of which they knew at the time that it was harmful to people, and they still persisted in manufacturing the stuff and exposing the local communities where their plants were to those chemicals. They've been fined heavily for doing that, but it hasn't stopped them. And now they've moved into the seed industry by virtue of a ruling in the Supreme Court that allowed them to patent a life form. And they have a stated mission. It's a 30-year program. They want to see, they've said it publicly, they want to see every commercial seed, every seed that's available to the public should be genetically modified. Why? Because that way they can make a commodity profit out of it. Many times the genetic modification that they come up with really isn't an advancement over the seed, the production, the yield of that particular crop. It's they just do it because they want to own the crop and they want to control the seed supply. So, you know, it's here in Hawaii. Hawaii is based on the culture of Hawaii is based on an understanding of what's pono, what's balanced, what's correct. The state motto is we feel is best interpreted to say that life is perpetuated through a balanced relationship with the land. And when you take a delicate ecosystem as the Hawaiian Islands and start dumping pesticides by the tons into this limited environment, how much can it absorb before it becomes a problem?
Is the concern now that this judge's ruling that supports Syngenta over the community, the county ordinance, will then be applied to other counties that are attempting to restrict pesticides and to put moratoriums on GMOs? Could it also impact counties like those here in Oregon that have put bans on GMOs in Jackson and Josephine County, given that this is a federal court?
I think that it will not, this ruling will not stand very long. Local authorities do have the right to be more restrictive than the federal or state agencies because we're the ones who know what's going on the ground in our locations. So, for instance, if the federal government says that you can do this, it's okay for the county to say, well, you can do most of that, but this little aspect of it you can't do because it affects us directly. And so they can be more restrictive. We have a ban on smoking cigarettes on the beach. And that was a ban enacted by the Maui County. Well, the federal government has rules and regulations on tobacco and secondhand smoke. And so under the court's ruling, the county would not be able to enact its own regulations on cigarette smoking and where you can do that in public. But indeed, the county enacted a law. It has a law on the books that prohibits people from smoking cigarettes on the beach. Are the tobacco companies now going to be able to swoop in and sue the county and say, you have no right to restrict our smokers from smoking on the beach because the federal government doesn't?
So you believe that this ruling will not stand up to appeal, and I am assuming that the groups that brought that are defending themselves in this lawsuit will be appealing?
Again, that group is in Kauai, and I can't speak for them. One would think that they're studying what their options are, and we'll see how far this goes. There's no telling. Our mayor has already, chimed in, to say, publicly, well, this will be a good education for the people of Maui County to understand the limits of county law. He's already on the bus. He's already drinking the Kool-Aid with the agrochemical companies. Here in Maui County, the mayor got proactive with the agrochemical companies. And when things first started going off in Kauai, nobody asked him to. He created a letter of agreement, of a memo of understanding that nobody passed muster on. He just took it upon himself to orchestrate a memo of understanding with the chemical companies that once a year they will provide a voluntary list of the pesticides that they spray. And that just feeds into all of the regulatory loopholes. Because what they don't have to tell is how much they sprayed and when they sprayed it in what locations. And that's the primary issue. Because you can spray a particular pesticide or chemical in one location, and people near that location get exposed to it. And they have a physiological reaction to that exposure. And that might last for a period of time before their body heals. If you then, within a short period of time, spray another series of chemicals that has a different set of physiological reactions, and they're exposed to that while they're still weak from receiving exposure from the first pesticide, then you've created a chemical cocktail reaction in this person's body. And so now you have a cascading effect where one ailment and one physiological reaction is now compounded by another. And there's no regulations that stop the companies from mixing these pesticides over time in certain locations. They don't even have to report it. And that's what we're living with here. And it's a threat to every aspect of quality of life in Maui County. You know, there are, because they're spraying so much, applying so much pesticides and chemicals and herbicides and fungicides to the soil to kill everything in the soil, that stuff leaches out into the environment. And it begins to have an effect on all forms of agriculture. Now, culturally, there are people here in Hawaii who practice a traditional form of subsistence agriculture. They live off the land, and they use Hawaiian natural farming techniques that don't use the heavy pesticides or chemicals that, quote-unquote, conventional agriculture does today. And so their ability to do that is compromised because there are chemicals in the environment that are killing the natural fungus that's required for the traditional farming techniques. These farming techniques, very similar in some ways to the Korean natural farming, where it's understood and respected that 80% of all growing plants have a symbiotic relationship with mycorrhizal fungus in the soil. That's that white fibrous stuff. If you pick up a pack of leaves and there's all this white fibery stuff in there, that's mycorrhizal fungus. And it stretches down deep into the soil, deeper than the roots of the plant can go. And the plant and the mycorrhizal fungus have a relationship with one another. They help each other. The plant deposits carbohydrates in the soil, overproduces carbohydrates in the soil. And some plants do this very effectively. Bamboo is an extraordinarily effective carbon sink because it draws carbon out of the air and deposits carbon in the form of carbohydrates into the soil. The mycorrhizal fungus feeds on that those carbohydrates. And in turn, the fungus breaks down the rocks and the minerals that are in the soil and literally draws them up to the plant. And even in times of drought, the fungus is able to reach down deeper into the soil than the plant roots, and the fungus is able to transmit moisture up to the roots. This is a living system that has worked for since the beginning of life here on this planet. And these chemists, these have the arrogance to think that they have a better system. It's fully profit-driven, and it is absolutely a threat to the well-being, not just here in Hawaii. It's really a threat to the well-being of the planet. And that's why nation after nation is rejecting the being forced to use genetically modified crops.
Well, I think we're going to have to leave it there. I've been speaking with Sam Small. He is with the group Shaka, Sustainable Hawaiian Agriculture for the Kiki and the Aina in Maui, and has been joining us from there talking about the most recent court ruling in Kauai County, where a federal judge has invalidated a measure in Kauai County that regulates genetically modified organisms as well as pesticides. And that ruling could have an impact on other counties in Hawaii that are also working to ban or otherwise regulate genetically modified organisms and pesticides. Thanks for joining us today, Sam Small.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Enemigo Imperialismo, Enemy Imperialism, a bilingual community art exhibit that explores the dimensions of imperialism in the world today. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. Artists around the world have responded to violence with work that questions the legitimacy of the state and empire. Enemigo Imperialismo points to one of our common targets in the fight for global justice and invites us to reflect on power, resistance, and self-determination. Again, that's Enemigo Imperialismo. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. The show will be up until September 25th. More information can be found at kwoo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59 a.m.
Coming up at 10, we'll hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints, and at 11 on the incomparable radio zine, Per Fagering speaks with Oregon author Doug Matheson about his new book, Actually Thinking Versus Just Believing. We'll be taking your calls. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can remedy that at kboo.fm. Click where it says Donate Today.